Welcome to episode 14 of Confessions of a Casting Director, where you will hear advice, wisdom, and true stories from inside the audition room. I'm your podcast host, Jen Rudin. We are continuing to offer you weekly podcast episodes as we continue to live in this crazy moment in time during the corona pandemic. And today's episode features a live recording from the April 1st online parent coaching session attended by over 150 parents and young actors and their pets from all over the country. If you couldn't Zoom with us last week, I am so excited to bring you today's podcast, which features a very lively discussion about headshots with my very good friend, headshot photographer Douglas Gorenstein. Douglas Gorenstein was voted the favorite New York headshot photographer in Backstage.com. He served as the official photographer for The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, where he photographed virtually every major star on the planet. Next time you're at the grocery store, pick up a pint of Ben & Jerry's Tonight Dough ice cream to see the headshot Douglas took of Jimmy Fallon that appears on the carton. For over 20 years, Doug has taken amazing acting headshots for kids, teens, and adults at his beautiful New York City studio. His clients have appeared on Broadway in major films and TV shows and national commercials. He's proud to be the headshot photographer for Jen Rudin and Bob Marks. Doug also loves working with actors who are just starting out to make sure they have headshots that get them noticed. For more info, visit www.douglasgorenstein.com. And on a personal note, Doug has taken my headshots over the years, including the very popular photo that appears on the back of Confessions of a Casting Director and the current new photos that he just took in December of 2019 that are on JenRudinCasting.com. So it is my great pleasure to welcome Douglas Gorenstein to the podcast. Hi there. Let's all mute if you've just joined the meeting. So if you just joined the meeting, I'm Jen Rudin. It's so nice to see everybody. This is our third weekly free parent support chat. And believe me, we are going to continue to do these until this time ends and we can all see each other again in person. I'm very excited for our guest today, my friend Douglas Gorenstein. But before I introduce Doug to do his presentation on headshots, I just want to let you all know I'm going to send out a little survey after this meeting. And please email me some topics that you want to talk about as the weeks go on. I know next week we've already decided that we're going to talk about agents and managers, which is, you know, the million-dollar question. But certainly I want you guys to email me, let me know how I can best support you during this time and how we can get informed and answer questions and keep moving forward as we move through this pandemic. So I'm gonna share my screen. I'm gonna ask everybody to please mute for my very quick presentation. And we can, let's see, I'm gonna mute there we go. And I'm gonna share my screen and just do a really quick presentation about Jen Rudin casting and all of that. So without further ado, here we go. Can everybody see my screen? You could just give me a thumbs up. Yep. Okay, cool. So I'm Jen Rudin. I know most of you. I'm a casting director. I'm an author. I worked for Disney for 7 years, casting some wonderfully beloved animated movies like The Incredibles and The Princess and the Frog and Chicken Little. Then I went on to be the head of Broadway casting and domestic tours for the Walt Disney Company, working on such great shows like Mary Poppins and Lion King and The Little Mermaid. I've had my own company, Jen Rudin Casting, for over 10 years now, since August of 2009, and I split my time between New York and LA. Somebody please mute. Thank you. And I cast a lot of animation, a lot of feature films, a lot of commercials, and all of that. This is my book, Confessions of a Casting Director, published by HarperCollins. And I also now have a podcast called Confessions of a Casting Director, and you can listen to it wherever you get your podcast fix. So in the past 2 weeks since we launched these online sessions, we've had a lot of fun with some online classes with kids, and I have some fun photos We have had some voiceover classes, TV acting analysis classes, monologue classes, and you can see some of your kids are here. And thank you for all of the kids who have taken great pictures on Instagram and posted them. I just wanted to share happy kids learning during this time. And I wanted to conclude the pictures with this really sweet picture that Audrey Knowles made during our monologue class. And it just really made my day. And there I am with my purple glasses. So thank you, Audrey, for drawing that. We have some more classes for April coming up. They are all posted on Jen Rudin Casting. We sold out our animation class for this coming Saturday, but we have another one next Saturday. And we also have these really fun TV acting analysis classes that some kids have participated in. The younger kids look at a Disney Channel show. The older kids are looking at one-hour dramas. And we're actually analyzing the acting, the teen actors in these shows, to see what we can learn from their performances to better help with our own auditions. Monologue Marathon, which is...
That's good.
Let's mute. I'm going to mute everybody, please. Monologue Marathon, you can work on a new monologue. You can work on a monologue you've used for a while, and that is coming up as well. So as I mentioned, I'll be sending out a survey to see what you guys want to talk about in the next couple of weeks. And feel free to send me a note, book a private, et cetera, at jenrudencasting.com. So without further ado, our very special guest today is my very good friend, our headshot photographer, Douglas Gorenstein. So Doug, are you there? Great. So Doug and I met, we met 20 years ago. I was pursuing possibly my directing career and Doug was an actor and he was in a reading of a play that I was directing. And while the play wasn't wonderful, Doug and I became friends. And over the years, I would have him in for auditions, including the famous Can You Hear Me Now campaign for Verizon. Might have been Doug's last audition.
It was terrible. I was their 2,562nd choice.
So. Yes. So before Doug does his presentation, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about how did you go from being an actor to becoming a headshot photographer? What was the journey?
So I've been a headshot photographer for more than 20 years now, which is incredible how fast time goes by. And I was always very creative, obviously. I loved acting. And I was friends with the actress Ellen Burstyn. Some of you might know her work. She was the mom in The Exorcist. And, I mean, she's an amazing actor. Ellen and I were talking. And I said to her, I said, you know, I'm really looking for a creative way to make a living. I love acting, but I'm not sure if that's, you know, what I want to do. And she said to me, you know, why don't you sit with that for, you know, some time and just sit with it. And I woke up in bed one morning, swear to God, and the thought that was in my head was, I bet I'd be a really good photographer. And I'd never taken a photo in my life, never owned a professional camera, borrowed a camera from my mom. She had an old film camera that she was taking photographs of her artwork with. And from there, I started taking classes and started photographing friends' headshots who were actors. They started sharing them with their agent and casting director and manager friends. And then all of a sudden it snowballed. People were like, these are great. And my business built up from there. It's been a great fun ride.
Cool. So you and I both run small companies. And so what did you need to get started? Now, keep in mind when Doug started, it was before digital photographs. It was real film. I mean, obviously you needed some startup costs to get going, lights, cameras, a studio.
Yeah, so great question. So initially I had the camera I borrowed from my mother. Eventually I had to upgrade it. I started investing in some lighting. But initially I was just shooting outside because I didn't have a studio. I had a studio apartment. I didn't have lights, didn't have the money for lights. And I started to build up a really good reputation and eventually had money to invest in an actual photography studio, better camera, better equipment. It's always important to invest. You've got to spend money. I know sometimes even, you know, with you know, kids, you have to have lights for self-tapes and better equipment. It's always better to make that investment. It will pay off eventually.
Yes, yes, it will. And, you know, the same way that I always tell people to go to a dentist or go to see the professional accountant to do your taxes, I highly encourage people to go see a professional headshot photographer. Even with the rise of digital and everybody taking photos in their backyard, your headshot is your business card. And until you're Natalie Portman or Reese Witherspoon or Justin Timberlake, you really, really need this headshot. So
I can tell you, I have so many actors who come to me and they've made the mistake of having their, you know, cousin take a shot because he has a digital camera, and they eventually realize how many auditions they haven't been getting. And the reason they realize that is because they're not getting any, or they're getting very few. Then they get professional headshots done by me, and all of a sudden I'll get these emails saying like, oh my gosh, like I'm getting all these auditions now. I can't believe it. So it can really be a game changer in your career. And you know, with me, headshots have always been a passion. Just to let you know, in case you don't, I spent a number of years as the photographer for The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. So I would do all of Jimmy's headshots, all the guests who would come on. And if you pick up the Tonight Dough Ice Cream by Ben and Jerry's, there's a headshot of Jimmy on there. And I took that headshot of Jimmy. So now you can enjoy the delicious ice cream and also the photo at the same time, because you'll know who took it.
Cool. And keep in mind that, you know, nowadays everything is digital. So when I am going through the casting breakdowns in a submission, the headshot is so important. And if I know you, great, I know you and I'll give you a self-tape request or an audition. But if you're a brand new and I don't know you at all, this headshot is so important because it is your way into the room, right? And that's what we all want. We all want auditions. We all want to get into the room. So, Doug, let's do it. Show us the presentation. Doug is going to share his screen, and
I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully, depending on your speed of your computer and your internet, you'll see the slides right away. There could be a little bit of lag time depending on your speed, but I'll mention to you, try to remember to let you know when I've switched from slide to slide. And we'll go through everything there. So I'm going to share my screen. Give me one moment here. Just one second, getting that all queued up. All right, so we're gonna share that. So we're gonna treat, everybody see the screen now, hopefully?
Thumbs up, great, thank you.
Thumbs up. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna treat today like it is a late night talk show, or at least the beginning of it anyway. The kids who are watching may not remember this theme song, but I figured we'd throw it back for the parents. And away we go. It's the headshot show. Everything you need to know about getting your headshots done right. Starring casting director Jen Rudin with special guest, headshot photographer extraordinaire Doug Gorenstein. And now here they are. Jen and Doug!
Yay!
Wild applause. Now I'm seeing a yellow line over my face and Jen's face. Is everybody else seeing that?
Yeah, but don't worry about it. We'll keep
okay,
on
that's,
going.
Okay, that's not coming from me. I don't know if someone has drew on the screen or something, but so I'm going to go start looking at headshots. So let's jump right in here. I'm going to save the monologue jokes that they would usually do on a late night talk show, because they would all be bad dad jokes if I did them, and I don't want to hear everybody groaning. So we're going to move on, and we're going to start with the history of headshots. That was then, this is now, which actually is also an S.E. Hinton book, I think, if I remember correctly. My son, who's over to the side, he just gave me a thumbs up. Apparently it is. So the only reason headshots were ever done in black and white was because it was too expensive for actors to reproduce color headshots. And that was the only reason. Once digital printing came along, it became exactly the same price. So if you have a friend or a teacher or an agent or a manager who says to you, oh, hey, black and white headshots are coming back, you should do them. Don't do them. In fact, like, think of it like a black and white television. Once color came along, no one was watching a black and white TV. Jen, what do you do if you see a black and white headshot, if one comes across your desk?
So, of course, my own black and white headshots from the 1980s of my childhood acting career are all framed in chronological order as you come up to my office. If I see a black and white photograph, I feel like, oh, it's somebody who's still using an old headshot from the late 80s, early 90s, and it's time to get with the times and get a new headshot. It's an investment in your career, and you've got to be current and present, and these days, they're in color.
Yep, 100% in color. So headshots were always vertical in shape. And then some of us started doing horizontal headshots. There was a little bit of pushback. This was maybe 10 years ago. And now both are acceptable. And then finally, your headshots always need to look just like you on a really good day. But they need to look like you. You don't want to try and be somebody else. Now, you want to be different sides of you in your headshots, and we'll get more into that. But you have to embrace who you are rather than trying to create some image that you think you should be. So we're going to move on to the next slide. And here is an example, hopefully everyone sees it, of a horizontal headshot and a vertical headshot. The headshot on the left was actually taken inside my studio. Most people would think that was outside, and we'll talk a little bit about inside versus outside as we go. This is an actor named Cole. For anybody who saw Fun Home on Broadway, he was one of the kids in Fun Home. Really talented guy. Now we're going to move on to the next slide. So are there differences between headshots for theater, musical theater, film, TV, commercials? And the answer is, drum roll please, most of the time, no. But a little bit of the time, yes. And you're probably thinking, like, what is he talking about? Or as Gary Coleman would have said in Different Strokes, for the parents in the audience, what you talking about, Doug? Which is the worst Gary Coleman imitation that anyone's ever heard. So here's the thing. Traditionally, people would call a smiling photo a commercial headshot, and a serious photo a legit. And so you might think, okay, well, it's a commercial. I'm going to submit my smiling shot for that. It's a film or a TV show. I'm going to submit my serious shot for that. But the way you want to think of it, instead of thinking of it in that simplistic commercial legit way, you want to think of it more along the lines of how they have described the part. So if they're casting that really serious character, you'd submit a serious character, headshot. If they're casting that more upbeat character, you'd submit a smiling headshot. But you don't want to be stuck to the idea that one thing is only for commercials and one thing is only for dramas. I'm going to take you to the next slide and show you a couple samples. So hopefully we're on to the next slide. So here
Casey is applauding because she's here. Joshua's mom.
Joshua's mom. So this is an actor named Joshua. Really funny, talented, witty kid. We've worked together a bunch of times over the years as he's aged. He's upgraded his headshots because he's, you know, grown out of them. So traditionally people would say this is a commercial headshot and you would submit this for commercials, right? But this would also work great for a TV or film comedy. It would work great for a lot of musical theater roles. It's a very versatile headshot. If we go on to the next headshot, so the next slide, here's another shot of Josh, and this is what people would traditionally call a legit headshot. So you would say, okay, well, serious roles, I'm going to submit this headshot. Let's say they were casting an episode of Blue Bloods, and they, you know, it was a very dramatic episode about a serial killer, right? And you might think, okay, I'm going to submit my serious headshot for that role because it's a very serious project. But let's say they describe the part as the all-American boy next door who turns out to be the killer. Instead of submitting this shot, you probably would want to submit this shot, the smiling shot, because that's how they've described the part. So it's really just about being smart about how you're marketing yourself and sending in the shot that makes most sense for how they've described the role. Sometimes you might think, okay, well, would I ever submit a serious shot for a commercial? More times than not, it's gonna be a smiling shot, but if it is a, let's say it's a public service announcement about a runaway teen, a troubled teen, well, this shot of Josh would be probably the better choice than the one where he's smiling. So we're going to go on to the next slide. So we're on to the next slide. Here's a couple examples of an actor named Molly. Molly's got her great smiling shot on the left, her more serious shot on the right. And for those of you who live in Baltimore, she just recently did a professional production of Fun Home. Once again, Fun Home. She played young Allison in that. Did you see the Broadway production, Jen?
Yes, I did. And Sydney Lucas is a friend, and I cast her in my Peter Bogdanovich movie.
Oh,
and,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yes, so Molly did this production at Baltimore Center Stage, I think, last year.
Yeah, she did. And Sydney was great. I got to shoot her once for the Dramatists Guild, actually performing that song and A Ring of Keys. It was great. Here's another example of a serious headshot and a smiling headshot. Both of these headshots, incidentally, were taken in my studio. The one on the left, I just blurred the background, lit it up a little bit brighter. You can see the window area a little bit. The one on the right, the more serious headshot, I just opened up the windows and I caught some of the outside. And Jesse Ray, who works a ton, you know, he can really do that upbeat young kid, but he also gets cast as like the cool kid a lot of the time as well. I don't usually photograph kids and young teens wearing black, but if it makes sense for you and one of the ways that you're cast, why not tell that story, so long as it doesn't look like a costume, right? So these are very effective headshots for Jesse Ray. He's got a couple other headshots he works with as well. Here we have an actor named Josie. What was the show, Jen, that Josie
was, I think, Because of Winn-Dixie up at Goodspeed
right.
Opera House.
Yeah, she did Because of Winn-Dixie. I heard she was amazing. I wish I had seen it. And I put these two headshots in here because she's wearing the exact same outfit, but her expressions are different. So you might cast her slightly different based on the vibe you're getting from both shots. What are your thoughts on that, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's got such different opinions about teeth, and I think we are actually going to do a week discussion about orthodonture for child actors, because it does come up, and Allison Sass is going to lead that one, I think, for us. Anyway, no, I think this is great. I mean, both shots are beautiful, and teeth, no teeth, based on this, I would absolutely request a self-tape if I didn't know Josie.
Mm, okay, good to hear. Moving on to the next shot. Here's Gabby. I think she just had a big commercial run, and she's a super, super sweet kid. And you can tell you would cast her in different ways based on those two headshots. Moving on to another one. Here's an actor named Lauren. And you can see her more serious shot. It's very intense on the left. We've got a great smiling, quirky headshot in the center. And then on the right, we've got a full body shot. So, Jen, talk to everybody a little bit about full body shots.
Totally. So these days with self-tapes, we always, always, always want to see what you look like, not just your audition, but what you look like with this full body shot. And I'm sure the parents will agree. You can raise your hand if you felt so awkward when you have to do this full body shot with your kid, running the camera up and down. It almost feels like they're going to jail. So now I encourage everybody to get a full body picture when you go see Doug, because now Lauren's mom can just insert this full body shot of Lauren into the self tape, and they don't have to worry about taping it in real life. It doesn't matter if Lauren is wearing a different outfit in the self tape. Here we have this perfect shot of her, of what she looks like with the cute sneakers and the denim jacket. So I definitely think a full body shot is great and will save you endless hours of time when you're trying to make these self tapes, especially when they're so last minute. And also the thing is that, well, Doug will mention, many photographers don't actually offer this option, and thankfully Doug does, and you should grab one while you're looking at your headshots with him.
For sure. And in addition to self-tapes, there's also just going to be submissions that aren't tape submissions, where sometimes they're going to ask for a full body shot, and rather than, you know, waking your kid up in the middle of the night and saying like, get dressed, I gotta take a shot of you with, you know, my cell phone to get a full body shot, you'll have something on hand. And again, as Jen said, I don't know a lot of headshot photographers that are actually doing this. So if you're shooting with a photographer, you should ask them ahead of time before the shoot whether they'll do a full body shot as well. Because some photographers might say no. They might say, hey, this is not what I do. And you want to know that you're comfortable going in, that you're going to get everything that you need. And this is kind of funny. Just to stick with our musical theme of today, Lauren just also did a regional theater production where she played young Allison in what musical? Everybody?
On Home, yes.
For those of you who haven't played Allison in young Allison in Fun Home, you've got that potentially in your future if we'll shoot that young Allison energy out there. A quick funny story. I went to see Jen the Broadway production of Fun Home, and I went with a friend of mine. He's a director named Kenny Ortega, and Kenny, for those of you who don't know his work, he directed High School Musical and Descendants. Really sweet, talented, amazing man. And afterwards, we went backstage because all of the actors wanted to meet Kenny. They didn't want to meet me. They wanted to meet Kenny. And we were talking with Sydney Lucas, and who had been with the production through the entire workshop and then onto Broadway. And she told Kenny and I that one of her goals in life on her bucket list was to play Allison at all three ages. And Kenny and I, you know, we're like, our minds just exploded. We're like, that is the coolest thing to have on your bucket list. And there aren't many parts out there where you could actually play the same role when you're a kid and then as they age up into yeah. adulthood. So for the young, potential young Allisons out there, the young Allisons who's already done it, you know, put that on your list of things to do in life. It'd be a really cool thing. So we're going to move on to the next slide. And we're going to talk about teeth. Jen, why don't you take it for a minute?
Yeah, and Hadley and her parents, I think, are on this Zoom, so that's cool. So everybody has a totally different opinion about teeth, right? So some, you know, agents think that kids, you know, should have perfect teeth all the time. Some casting directors want everybody to have perfect teeth. You know, kids grow and change, and orthodonture has to happen. If Tiffany from Kentucky is on here, her kids have been going to the same orthodontist that I went to in the early 1980s. Dr. Mark Lemshin, shout out to him. So I love Hadley. I love these pictures of Hadley because of her, they're gorgeous photos, and also her beautiful expressive eyes. I think it's great to both photos. And Doug, is it possible that you can fill in teeth if people are missing them?
That is a great question. The answer to that is yes. I've done that. In fact, you've seen a couple of headshots already today where the kids were smiling, where I had actually filled in the teeth because they had started to grow in, and we knew they would be in soon. Oftentimes, I'll have actors who have managers or agents already, and they'll come to me for headshots, and they'll always, more times than not, their manager or their agent will say, oh, we don't want any smiling shots showing teeth. I always think that's a mistake. I think it's important to do both shots showing teeth, because there might be a project where you need to see shots, you know, where the kid's missing teeth, right? It just is appropriate, or where you know that you can fill the teeth in eventually. And you also want to have those grinning shots because the agents and managers are going to want those a little bit more than the showing teeth shots. I've also had kids come in with braces, and I always tell them, we got to do a shot showing the braces. And one time I convinced the mom to do it for her daughter, and her daughter booked the braces commercial. The other thing is sometimes kids have Invisalign. They'll take the Invisalign out, and you have the little bumps that are there, but I can retouch the bumps out. So it's always good to do a little bit of everything, don't you think, Jen?
But I just want to say that Hadley is, even in where her teeth aren't showing, she is still smiling with her eyes, and it's a great, beautiful photo. And I know you're going to get into wardrobe, but I just want to shout out as well that this wardrobe is great in terms of the colors, and also denim jackets are so universal. Doesn't matter if it was the 1980s when I was wearing them in my headshots, or Hadley and Lauren Sass wearing them now, like, it's just a great wardrobe choice to have.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we're gonna move on to the next slide. So go down here. Okay, just double check it. Yep. So what are the reasons to get new headshots done? The first reason would be if your headshots are awful. Yikes! Exclamation point. Or if you've drastically changed your hairstyle, or your hair color, or the length, or if you gained a lot of weight, you've lost a lot of weight. You've grown really tall, taking us into if you've aged out of your headshot. I want to show you an example of an actor named Allie.
Who might actually be on the Zoom. She might be on the Zoom today.
Is she on the Zoom?
I'm not sure. Maybe. We'll see.
If you're there, Allie or Allie's mom, Tiffany, if you're there, hello, hello. So I've been doing Allie's headshots since she was about 6 years old. The first time she came to New York, she had her hair. She used to wear a big bow. It was so cute. We didn't do all of her headshots like that, but we did one at the end like that for fun. Anyway, it's hard to believe when you look at these two headshots. But the shot on the left, viewer left, was done in 2017. Then her mom called me up a year later and said, Allie needs new headshots. She does not look like her headshots anymore. And I thought, okay, well, that happens sometimes within a year, especially with kids. Well, when Allie walked in the door, I could not believe it. She looked so much older. In fact, I was a little uncertain. I double checked the shots like three times in my files to make sure that I was actually right, that they were taken a year apart, and they were. Allie actually just got her braces off, and she is coming in the next couple months, as soon as this all dies down, hopefully very soon, for updated headshots, because she no longer has braces or Invisalign, and we're going to get a ton of smiling shots, and I know she's psyched to finally get to do her full smile.
And I just want to piggyback on what you were saying. My headshots are awful, and I just want to say the same way that sometimes I see a self-tape and I can tell that there's talent in the child, but the pacing is slow. Most of the time when we're talking about a bad headshot, for me, usually it's that the lighting is really off. And I know Doug is going to get into his lighting technique, but whether the lighting is too bright and too overhead or it's not enough light. So that for me is usually what makes me go, oh God, this is not a great headshot. When you look at these headshots of Allie, it's like the lighting is beautiful. The headshots are, beautiful. And it's a great success to look at a picture like this.
Oh, cool. All right, so moving on to the next slide. So types of lighting, as Jen was just bringing up lighting, types of lighting for headshots, which is best? So there's three types of lighting. There's all natural light, there's studio light, and there's mixed light, which is a combination of studio and natural light together, which when I'm shooting indoors, I combine my light, studio light with natural light. So if I have an overcast day or a bright sunny day, the work looks consistent, but I design it to look like natural light. Which lighting is best? They're all fantastic. It's all how the photographer uses the lighting. What you don't want is studio light that looks really moody, that looks overly stylized, with, big shadows, because everything is so reality-based and, no one wants that. They want to see you. I can guarantee you that when you are looking around for headshot photographers, most of them are going to sell the type of lighting they do as the best thing in the world and the only type of lighting you should use. Because that's what they do. But really, all lighting's great. It just really depends on how you use it. And Jen, do you have thoughts on lighting and your preferences?
I just want to be able to see a great headshot. I'll leave the lighting to you, the professional.
Well, thank you. And I can tell you too, there's a lot of actors who come to me and they say, my agent, my manager, my casting director friend told me to come to you because you shoot gorgeous natural light when you're shooting indoors. And I always laugh to myself because, yes, I design my light to look like natural light, but it just goes to show you that people really don't know. They just know a great shot and they just know great lighting. So again, lighting, super important. And we're going to move on to the next slide. All right, clothing. Clothing, you want to overpack. You want to bring too much. I love everyone to pack a suitcase. And then when I see clothing, I can help you narrow it down. Occasionally, I've had a parent come in with their kid and they've got like three outfits and that's all they brought. And we're shooting three different clothing changes, but they've only brought the three, even though I've said to bring tons. And there have been moments where I've sent the parent out to go shopping while we're shooting our first look to round out the looks that we need. Oftentimes, brighter, happier colors for commercials or more upbeat roles, Disney, Nick. Darker colors are great for more serious roles, but bright colors can work too, so long as the expression that you're putting into the camera is more serious. If you go to my website, which is douglasgorenstein.com, If you go under the rate and information section, you will see a clothing and preparation list. So if you're shooting with me or if you're shooting with another photographer who doesn't have a clothing and prep list, you can borrow ideas from my list that I have there. And also, if you go through all the headshots on my website, you can see what other people wore and how the clothing influences, kind of put your mind in, put yourself in casting director mode. And you can see how the clothing and the expression influences how you would cast the person when you're looking through the headshots on my website at both the kids and teens section and also the adult section. And Jen, anything you want to add on clothing, preferences, likes?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was trained under a casting director who always wanted everybody in solid colors for commercials and no stripes and no tank tops. And so I sort of espouse that and continue to think that way, certainly for myself as well. If you look at my headshot that Doug did both on Confessions of a Casting Director, the book, and then on my current website, we just got new headshots in December. Me and Doug took new ones of me. Solid, for me, I like a solid color. I get really distracted if your clothing is so busy. And I just think, you know, everybody knows their colors. And even if it's I know like Emery, who's on from Indiana, has like this great blue shirt that she wears. And that's what she's wearing in the headshots. And that's what, you know, she might wear to an audition. And that's cool. As long as you got a couple of really great colors that you like. I think you can't go wrong, parents, with Converse jeans, a solid color t-shirt, and a denim jacket. That's a winning combo right there to wear.
Yeah, those looks always, you know, are always great. And I also like to break the rules. And I think as a kid and a teen, you can break the rules as far as clothing goes, as long as you're not doing the entire shoot that way. So you'd want to do the more conventional looks. And then if you're somebody who can pull off stripes or something that's more quirky, it's worth doing to have that to use, because you know you're still young. So I want to show you some rule-breaking headshots. We're going to go on to those here. So here are two actors. And again, if you're seeing that yellow line on the screen, I don't know where that came from, but that seems to be consistent. Here's two actors who are definitely breaking the rules with their wardrobe choices. On the left, we've got an actor named Josh Sussman. For those of you who used to watch Drake and Josh or Wizards of Waverly Place or Glee, he played Jacob, the newspaper reporter on the hit show Glee. Josh plays a lot of quirky, eccentric, offbeat characters. And so we knew for one of his shots that we could play around and push the limits a little bit. Sometimes he wears his glasses, sometimes he doesn't. So we did a little bit of both for him. The shot on the right of Oksana, she walked in the door for her shoot that day and she was wearing this outfit. I don't even think they were planning on wearing it. And I saw it and I said, that is fantastic. You are gonna get so many calls if we shoot with this look. And so it was one of the looks we did. The rest were more solids. What are your thoughts, Jen?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I met Oksana because her mother called me to do a headshot consult, which is a service I offer. And I said to her mother, I have not even met your daughter yet, but based on this headshot, I would bring her in for an audition. It's so winning and she could, you know, it's so cute, especially with the red and the stars just pop and it's a great, great picture. So yes, I agree. Both of these kids can pull off, you know, wearing patterns.
Yeah, and I just did a new headshot shoot of Oksana with her hair straight, and we'll get into this a little bit as we go, but 95% of the shoots I do, kids and adults, they just have one hairstyle that they do. They're not doing both straight and curly. You don't want to do it just to do it, but Oksana has found that she's kind of a 50-50 girl and needed both, in which case, most of the time we're able to do it in the same shoot. She just kind of realized, you know, after the fact that she needed a straight as well, and we were able to take care of that for her. I want to show you some more rule-breaking headshots. Here's some more stripes. So on the left, we've got an actor named Evan. He's got a plaid pattern, really works for him. He was, a couple seasons ago, he was Randy in the national tour of Christmas Story, which my son Leo was also up for and got to the callbacks for, but got pretty far for his first big audition, and you know, I was happy to see someone else I know playing that role. In the center, we've got Ellie Grace. Now, for Ellie Grace, we did her entire shoot with her hair down. At the very end, I said, you know what, throw that striped shirt on, you know, we decided to talk with her dad too, and also Ellie Grace about putting her hair in a ponytail because she does that a lot. We did that for just, you know, a handful of shots. And it really works for her. It's a good look for her to have. And then Wright's an actor who's just starting out named Kyle, really photogenic, sweet kid. I think he's going to do really great. In fact, one of his teeth was growing in. And in post-production, I filled it in. So
you are an orthodontist, and you didn't.
I'm an orthodontist. I'm a lot cheaper than an orthodontist. $45 to retouch a headshot. Right. I think like 25 or something if I'm filling in teeth. So a lot cheaper than orthodontics. Please, I hope my children have good teeth. That braces for them. So moving on. Here's three actors who are wearing solids. Although Spencer on the right has a little bit of stripe. Spencer is, do you remember Allie from earlier, who I showed you the younger shot and the older shot of her? This is Spencer, Allie's brother. And Spencer's, like Allie, does a lot of ballet. He's been doing a bunch of voiceovers. And he's friends with my son as well. My son is an actor, Leo. The boy on the left, Lyndon, I know he's been working a lot. It's a great, great look for him. He also has this real tough guy shot that we did. He's kind of like a strong, big, strong kid. And we did something where he's got this sort of a solid color army jacket on, and it just has a tougher vibe. It really makes sense for him. And we've got Emery in the center.
Who's with us today.
Hey, Emery, again. This shot of Emery is great. It's a great commercial shot. I think she's probably going to need updated shots soon because I know she's getting a little bit older. She just did a production of Matilda in which she played Matilda. And her brother made his acting debut as well, I heard. So,
and I would just say, if I saw all three of these kids on my computer screen, I would absolutely click them for a self-tape or an audition because they feel like they're winning. And also the eyes are popping and expressive and they're very appealing. And there's nothing more, you know, it's just they're happy kids and I would absolutely, you know, bring them in.
And the eyes, you know, Jen, that's a really good point that you mentioned. You always want the eyes to be alive. You want them to pop. You want there to be a real emotion going on in the photo. You can always tell when someone's doing a fake smile and they look like this, right? There's nothing going on in the eyes. Sometimes you can just have that little smile in the eyes and that works as well. So it's really important to capture real moments. That's also why most of the time you want to work with a really good headshot photographer who knows how to bring out your personality. And we'll talk a little bit more about tricks for doing that. We'll go on to the next slide. Hair and makeup. So the male actors I work with, they never do makeup. I always want them to do their hair the way they like to wear it. And not to do some crazy hairstyle just for the sake of doing it, but it should look like their hair. If someone has a pimple, if somebody has a dry skin area, darkness under the eyes, I always like to say that's why God invented Photoshop. That's something that can be taken care of in post-production. So no need to put any cover-up stick on it because it's just going to look cakey anyway. You're going to have to retouch it. For girls, Jen, why don't you talk about makeup a little bit?
Sure. So, I mean, even if you love to do your daughter's hair and you feel like you're great at it, there is something really wonderful about having a professional makeup artist have them be there at the session, because not only are they going to do the hair, they are also they're not your mother, they're not your daughter, so it's a completely objective relationship. Yeah. And it's nice for the moms to not have to worry about it that day, right? And it also lets the kids, you know, it's kind of exciting. You have a professional doing your hair and your makeup. I know for me, every time I've had a shoot with Doug, I always hire his hair and makeup a person because I personally need all the help I can get when it comes to makeup and hair. One time that I didn't have hair and makeup when Doug took my engagement photo for the New York Times, and you can Google my name, Jennifer Rudin, New York Times wedding section, you'll see we didn't do hair and makeup. And yes, it was only for the New York Times wedding section, but I felt like I could have benefited from the professional person. So it's worth the money. It makes such a difference. It's like when I go to dry bar and get my hair blown out before a really important meeting, I feel better and I look better. And it really is important what you So I say go for it. It's have the professional do your hair and makeup.
And it's an investment, and it's always easier with the hair and makeup artist. But I also get that, you know, headshots are not inexpensive, and you've got a lot of costs too. So you can see the percentages I put up on the screen of how often different ages use the hair and makeup artist and don't. I can tell you that I've had people come in and not use the hair and makeup artist, and it's gone great. Gone great shots. I've had other times where somebody comes in and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do my daughter's hair and makeup, very simple makeup, I'll say. And then they try and work with their daughter's hair and they have totally different views on what that hair should look like. Or they're brushing the hair and the brush hurts when it's going through, and World War III's almost broken out in my studio on a few occasions. I've had to break up a few fights and, you know, mitigate things. I one time had a mom who tried to do her daughter's hair and makeup for about an hour and a half. She was trying to do the hair and finally turned and looked at me and said, can I pay you a cancellation fee, reschedule, and then get your hair and makeup artist in here? And I was like, absolutely. So we solved that problem. But you know, sometimes it can go well without. So something to think about. And I'm always happy to talk with you guys about that in further detail if we were to work together. Let's go on to the next slide. So should I shoot indoors or outdoors? And Jen, do you have some opinions on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're making an album cover, not to date myself, then it's really cool to be outdoors. If you're shooting a photo shoot for Vanity Fair or Teen Vogue, then no, go outside and do some cool artsy shots. But for your headshot, I don't want to lose the focus on you and your face and the story that you're telling with your eyes. And I will if I'm suddenly in the city street. So I definitely think that you should shoot indoors.
Yeah, and you know, indoors or outdoors, again, it's something that the photographer also might try and sell you on if they only shoot outside. Listen, you can get great shots outside as long as you're using the lighting correctly and using the backgrounds right. Photographer has to know what they're doing. If a photographer shoots 100% outside, sometimes that makes me a little nervous. And if everybody could mute their mics, that would be great. I hear some drumming. As much as I love drumming, we'll do a session on drumming.
I think that sounds better. I think, thank you for me.
That's much better. So if I'm shooting a shoot, I shoot 95% of my shots indoors. A lot of times people look at shots on my website and say, oh my gosh, I love that outdoor shot you did of so-and-so. And I'll say, actually, it was inside. I just popped open the window and caught the outside. So you want to talk to your photographers about how they use backgrounds. Are they shooting in a professional studio? What sort of backgrounds do they use? Also, if they're shooting outside, what's their rule if it's a really overcast day? Sometimes overcast can be good, but what if it's like a rainy day or a super dark day? Are they going to compromise your shoot? That's important to know. I like to control my lighting. If I go outside, it tends to be for a super gritty guy, more times than not. Based on how I'm shooting, I can accomplish both in my space, but definitely query your potential photographers about all of your options. So let's go on to the next slide. So what is a headshot shoot like? So first of all, you've found your photographer, you've done your consultation, you've talked about clothing, you've talked about hair and makeup, you come in for the shoot. The headshot photographer should help you pick out the clothing at that point in time. And then during the shoot, you want a photographer who's really good at giving direction, who's really good at helping bring out your personality, capturing you on a really good day. Kids tend to be, for the most part, great smilers, and they're there in the moment. But some aren't. So I've got a million different ideas in terms of helping crack somebody up or bring out a natural smile or point them in a more serious direction. But we're working like an actor and a director during the shoot. So I might, you know, look at somebody and say, like, you know, see if you communicate something to like your silliest best friend. And that might make them, you know, smile. I can say, imagine you were about to take a really difficult test. You knew you were going to do really good, but you're not quite there yet. You haven't aced it. So see if you can get that little smile in your eyes because you really studied, you know you're going to ace it. And somebody gets that little smile in the eyes. There's lots of direction that you can play with. And you can also direct yourself too. So let's say you're a musical theater kid. You've got a bunch of songs that you work with. You know the feeling that you bring to that particular song. You might be playing with that same sort of direction during a shoot, or communicating something to a friend during the shoot, or thinking of your puppy. I wish I had a puppy. I saw everybody's animals earlier, and we're putting puppy on the list. I can see my son over on the side. He just gave me a thumbs up. He wants a puppy. And every headshot shoot goes a different amount of time, depending on the actor's pace and how many clothing changes you're doing. You always want to be you in the shoot. Again, if you're, you know, the sweet, you know, little, nice, you know, nice kid, you don't want to try and do a tough guy shot just for the sake of doing it. That would make no sense. You're probably never going to be cast that way. And then finally, parents, don't worry. Not every shot counts. It's not like the film days when you would have had your headshots done. It's digital. So if shots don't work, I just get rid of them. Sometimes when I'm starting off a shoot, you know, I'll have a parent who's like, you know, they're so excited, but they're so eager for their child to do well. And they'll be kind of almost standing behind me, you know, with their arms crossed or trying to give direction to their kid and, you know, saying, no, that's not your real smile. And I'll turn to them and I'll say, don't worry. I don't care if the first 40 shots are horrible. I'm going to get rid of them. They're warming up. We'll get there eventually. I promise you. Jen, any thoughts on that?
Nope. Let Doug do his job, you know?
Thank you. And it is a collaboration too. So I do want feedback from parents. I just want to make sure that you guys know that we'll get there. And obviously it depends on the headshot photographer. If your headshot photographer is halfway through the shoot and you're like, oh my God, like this is a disaster, it may be. So that's why you really want to do your research in terms of the photographers you're using. There's a lot of good headshot photographers in New York, in LA, in Chicago. It gets a little more difficult when you're going to other parts of the country in terms of really understanding what headshots should look like. So you want to do your research. I have a lot of actors who fly in from around the country when they're on breaks, or if they have, you know, summer vacation, or they leave school for a couple days and take a long weekend and see some Broadway shows. So I love to work with actors who are out of state as well. But I'm always happy to do free consultations over the phone. If you're out of state and shooting with a photographer out of state, I'm always happy to give you some advice ahead of time as well for free. So you can feel free to reach out to me for that. And have fun. It's always important to have fun. And speaking of fun, let's move on to our next slide. So what are the steps after you do your headshot session? The photographer will upload your shots to an online gallery. And Jen, you should talk a little bit about this part of the process.
Yeah, sure. So it really bothers me, everybody, when I see people posting their headshots on Facebook, the entire 150, and saying, hey guys, help me choose my new headshots, because it's really going down the rabbit hole. You should not be sharing your headshots with anybody, not even a grandparent at this point, because you're going to get a lot of opinions, and they're all going to be how fabulous your child looks because your child is wonderful. So you need an objective opinion to help you choose. I definitely offer for a headshot consult, which can really help parents narrow things down and stay focused. Don't post stuff on Facebook, because everyone's going to like every single picture, because that's social media. We all like everything that's happening and make each other feel good. So, and you want to really narrow down your shots, whether it's with me or with Doug, and get a little feedback and then choose from there. But do not share the headshot gallery on social media. You could share your new headshot once you got it done, and you could tag Doug, but you can't share everything.
And parents, you're obviously going to have, you know, opinions, you know your kid, but you know, you're also a parent. So sometimes it's tough to be objective. The first time I did headshots of my son, Leo, I showed the headshots. I went through them. I was picking out favorites. And then I showed them to my wife, Sarah. Sarah is an incredibly decisive person. If I ask her for opinion on someone's shoot, if I'm there helping someone narrow it down, I'll say, hey, which ones do you like? And in an instant, she has the shots that she liked picked out, and she's got 50 reasons why she likes one shot over another, you know, in a second. When I showed her the shots of Leo, She loved that shot. She loved that shot. She was in love with all of them. She was mush. And I realized, okay, I have to do what I advise my clients to do, which is to reach out to Jen for a headshot consultation. And Jen was able to help me navigate through and help us narrow it down. Because I was even starting to have a little bit of a hard time. You want to get, you know, shots from opinions from people in the business, like, as I said, you know, casting directors like Jen, agents, managers, teachers who are still in the business. So there are teachers who are great teachers and, you know, acting teachers, but they're not connected to the business so much anymore. So they might have an old fashioned view of what headshots should be. So you want to think about that. Once you've picked out your shots, you're going to decide if you're going to retouch them or not. And again, retouching is there to get rid of things that aren't normally there on your face, a pimple, dry skin area, darkness under the eyes. But you want to do retouching in a natural way. So if someone has freckles, I want to see the freckles. You don't want to retouch them out because freckles are what makes you special, makes you you, whatever your special features are. You want to show them off. And then once you've gotten your shots retouched or unretouched, whatever you've decided, from there you want to take them to a headshot lab to get some 8x10s made. And that's where they're going to add your name to it and the border of your choice. And I'll show you an example of what one looks like as well. And they'll run off as many copies as you need. But you don't need 100 copies made. In the old days, actors would submit themselves for jobs sending in their 8x10. That's how their agents and managers would send their submissions to casting directors via Messenger. Most submissions, as you know, are done online nowadays. So it's still good to have some hard copies made for when you're walking into an audition or if you're doing a mailing to an agent or a casting director or a manager to get some interest, but you don't have to get, you know, 1,000 copies made, and you can always get more copies made, you know, as you need them. Jen?
Yeah, I mean, I still like to hold a hard copy in my hand of your photo. So just like you, you know, you have your binder with your music, keep a few hard copies, because there's nothing more embarrassing in an audition than if we ask for a hard copy and you're like, oh, I don't have any. Well, my agent can send it. Meanwhile, we've spent 10 minutes at the audition talking about something dumb, something, you know, silly, instead of you doing your audition. So always have some hard copies.
Right. And it makes it easier for a casting director to you know, reference your headshot on their desk, or an agent to reference your headshot. You want to go to a real headshot lab. You don't want to use Kinko's, which is photocopies, or Staples. When you're printing them off of your computer, you know, sometimes it can smear. So better off to use a real headshot lab. And I don't recommend printing the headshot, the resume on the back of the headshot. Sometimes it smears, or if you book a role and you have a whole bunch of headshots that have a certain resume on there, and then you have to start handwriting in your new credit. What most actors do is they print their resume out, they cut it to 8x10, they staple it to the back of the headshot, and that works really well. I want to show you a headshot of an actor named Leo, who also happens to be my son.
This is our conclusion, folks. So we will get to some of your questions, I promise.
Yep. So there's Leo on the shot on the left, obviously a smiling shot. He's got a shot where he's not wearing such a, you know, a stripy jacket and a pink shirt as well that he used for smiling, but he's also a quirky kid, fun kid, and we could play around a little bit with that. The shot on the right, you know, obviously a more serious headshot. I picked the font out on the left just because I was playing around and wanted to match it to the jacket, but, you know, normally people aren't going that extreme. And what most people do nowadays is a larger white border around the headshot, a thin black border around the actual headshot itself, and that shrunk within the actual 8x10. We talked a little bit about staying on top of trends, right? Very important. So, you know, headshots are not black and white anymore. Headshots are, you know, really from the waist up and tighter, but you want a separate full body shot for some things. And there's also a new trend that will be starting soon. I want Leo to look like his headshot when he goes into an audition. So I updated these two headshots to reflect Leo. And so they recognize him when he comes into an audition now. And I'll show you an example of those. And there he is. He's got his new headshot with his mask on. He's got his smiling shot on the left and his serious shot on the right. Hopefully he likes that joke when I show him the pictures. So we'll see what he thinks. He's looking over at me now. We'll see. So just a couple other things. Definitely check out Jen's website, jenrudincasting.com. Tons of great information there. And my website, douglasgorenstein.com. And please follow us on Instagram at Rudin J and at Douglas Gorenstein. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. And it's always great to see what, you know, your kids are up to as far as their roles or old headshots, et cetera. Happy to do free consultation for any of you guys if you need it. And then moving on here, here's one of the headshots I did of Jen. And, proud that she recommends me to everybody. It warms my heart. Now I'm going to stop sharing my screen and we'll turn it back to Jen.
Great, you guys. So thank you so much, Doug. I always learn so much when it comes to the headshots. We do have a little time for questions. I know some people have to go back to school.
Jen, real quick, before we go into questions, I know I'm a blabbermouth, but I have a special guest here who wants to say a quick hello. Just real quick. Leo, you want to hop in here for a second? He wants to say hi to you and to everybody. Come on in, Leo.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Leo.
Great. And Leo's been doing Jen's classes online.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Thanks for the endorsement.
I'm glad you like them. What'd you think of the new headshot that I designed for you?
Such a boomer.
A boomer? He called me a boomer.
Okay.
I'm a Gen Xer.
You're 4 years off.
All right, thank you. Go clean your room or do something.
It's already clean.
All right, well... Okay. Room or something for me. Okay.
Leo. Great. So I've got your chat open, and if we don't get to your question, I promise we'll have Doug answer. So one of them was about one of the interesting ones was about weather. It really doesn't matter if you're in a sweater or a t-shirt, because these headshots will be used for hopefully a couple of years. So wardrobe doesn't, it's not seasonal. So you can definitely, wear an outfit and don't worry at all if it's winter or summer. And let's see. So why do the LA headshots, cut off the tops of the heads? I think actually, well, maybe Doug can answer. I feel like that was a style for a moment.
There were a few headshot photographers who started doing that where they really cut off the head. I hated it. I never did that to people. I felt it was decapitating. It looked weird to me. Now I'll crop a little bit into the hair sometimes. That's okay. But if you're cropping way deep, don't do it. It looks really weird and no one really does that anymore.
Yeah, I think it was a quick moment in time. Moving on, so full body. Yep, we agree. It's really hard to get a full body shot of your kids. So I have a photo of my child in a dress or a mermaid tail. Would one of those work? I would say no. It's something maybe to put on their website for fun. But not for a headshot at all. Though I did have a woman come to the Little Mermaid open call in Dallas, Texas, wearing a mermaid colored dress. And that is in my book. You can find that there. Do we need, Doug, a solid sweater or jacket over prints?
Solid sweater? Not all the time. You don't want to do the whole headshot shoot in prints, but as I showed from some of those examples, prints can work as long as you're not doing the whole shoot that way. But layers work as well. So I would just think bring a ton and then talk it through with your headshot photographer.
And Junta, it's really nice to see you. I'm glad you're on this chat. Are comp cards essential? I would say they are only essential if you are pursuing a modeling career. And in fact, back in the 80s, the only colored headshots I saw were comp cards.
And people used to do old fashioned comp cards where in one shot they'd be dressed as a doctor and the next one is a nurse and the next one is a priest. And don't do any of that. Those look really cheesy.
That's pretty dated. Yes, your agent should absolutely be involved with the final choosing. I did send Doug's website an email to the group, so you can see that. I think we gotta start to wrap it up. So if there's other questions, definitely get in touch with Doug. Let's see, one new message. Thank you both so much. Oh, how important is a headshot for a voiceover artist? You know, it's interesting. I just finished casting this Netflix animated series, which will be announced in May, and you will all see when I get to post the deadline announcement what I've been working on. You know, I actually had headshots and resumes and bios for the callbacks for my creative team, but I don't think you really, you know, if you're just doing voiceovers, you probably don't need a headshot. Maybe you can have an action shot of you in the voiceover booth, but more on that next time. So I want to thank my friend Doug Gorenstein so much for his time this afternoon. I will be sending out a survey. We're going to keep on doing these hour chats every week. And next week, I think we really are going to talk about agents and managers. And then after that, I'm certainly open. So please let me know how I can service you guys and help you during this time, what questions we can answer. JenRudenCasting@gmail.com. You can shoot me a note and tell me a topic that you'd like to talk about, and we will make it happen. If you had friends who could not attend today, this will be episode 14 of the podcast, and I'll post it next week. So
great.
We'll talk to you soon.
If you need to reach out to me, Douglas@DouglasGorenstein.com. Or you can phone me, you can contact me through my website. And Jen, I wanted to say to you, you know, thank you so much for organizing these. You know, we're obviously, you know, all in this together, going through, you know, a tough time as a performing arts community, as a country, the whole world. And, you know, we will get through this. And I think, you know, having moments like this where we can focus on the future and, you know, brighter things, you know, are really important to have. So thanks, Jen, for putting this together. And thank you all.
You are welcome. My pleasure. You guys stay safe, take care, and we'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye. Everyone's waving. I love that. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, you guys. For more episodes of Confessions of a Casting Director, go to JenRudenCasting.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast fix. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show, and tell your friends. We've got some fun online classes for young actors coming up in voiceover and animation, TV acting analysis, and monologues, all at reduced prices. You can check them out and sign up today at JenRudenCasting.com/classes-coaching. And if you love this show as much as I love doing it, please consider supporting us with a contribution to keep our show going. You can find that link on JenRudenCasting.com/podcast and support us through Patreon or PayPal. Thank you for listening.